nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
We were discussing dendrite growth. We basically were trying to build up evidence on the fact that we have two main dendrite growth mechanisms. We have one that is called tip controlled. Which, well, I guess graphically I can summarize it that I have some structure growing and masses basically being accumulated at the tip. Okay, and the other one was called base control. Where, in this case, we have our growth. Okay, and somehow, through a mechanism that we haven't started to speculate about, lithium is being extruded from the bottom. Okay, and we were showing this in situ experiment by Crowther and West, okay, where you can see here how the dendrite pokes out from a corner of this copper wire, okay, and as it pokes out, it does give the impression that material deposits on the tip, okay, and then after a while you can see that the tip apparently becomes stagnant, it reaches the edge of where the flow of electrolyte is coming from top to bottom, okay, and then takes a turn, and then closes on itself. Okay, that by itself, some people may still argue, well, maybe there's some sort of replicating mechanism where mass is being removed from here and diffused from here so that it's the same object gives impression of coming and going and moving forward. But for that, there's this other experiment that proves that that's not possible, where we're looking at a surface of an electrolyte and electrode layers, and you can see here the dendrite poking at actually on the surface, out of the surface of the system. Okay, and there's really no means for that dendrite to gain any lithium at the tip, so somehow that dendrite is being pushed from the back. Okay. And that, of course, after a time scale that it's could be considered very different as the one given by the other setup. They're obviously different in the sense that they both use different electrolytes, different discharging conditions, and, of course, different materials leading to different types of dendrite morphologies, okay? So I'm going to present now a further evidence and hopefully build up to the point where we can actually start putting in some numbers. What we learned until now still applies, okay, in the sense that... Let's see, I'll try to use this one. Growing, well, these structures could be on the order of micrometers, they are still coated okay, by the SEI layer, which, as we know, that layer could be non-uniform, could also grow at the same time as the dendrite, right? Typically, this layer in the average, as we have discussed, has on the order of 10 nanometers. Okay, and it's very stiff, okay, it's brittle, okay, and it forms immediately after a dunking our electrode material into the electrolyte, and it's favored, just like dendrites are favored, as we start electrodepositing on that surface, okay? And, well, that's the review. Okay, this is also from Crowther and West, same paper as the one I was showing you up here, same paper as this one on the top. This is just a different part of the paper, where here we're looking at a side view of the copper wire. What I find very interesting here, okay, is that, well, here roughly after 5 minutes, you can see the layer of lithium plating the copper wire and developing by itself inhomogeneities. And those inhomogeneities, as compared to what you would expect in silver dendrites or copper dendrites or zinc dendrites, where they are, give the impression of following at least locally the crystallography of the structure that they're trying to form. You can see here that they look highly amorphous, right? You can see, for example, this, I don't know, a finger that poke out, basically maybe this one corresponds to that same region, and how a couple minutes later, it started to merge with a larger object, ultimately leading to this competition between different tips, right? What I find the most interesting in this image, at least on the phenomenology of what's going on, is that you start forming a layer of lithium on the surface of your copper wire, okay? Then objects start to poke out, okay? And in fact, after they form, they just become stagnant. It is the objects that are around it that start eventually catching up. So after a while, okay, all these objects that are falling behind eventually catch up with that larger dendrite, okay, and forming this much larger object, either because the dendrite, it's assimilating the smaller dendrite that is next to it, or somehow manages to merge with it, okay? So there are clearly lateral driving forces, or more importantly, I would call them dendrite-dendrite interactions, that are taking place, okay? Just to add to that, clearly not every point on the surface of the copper wire. I mean, again, we're talking about 200 microns of the width of that wire. Not every point is equivalent, even though you could have even polished the surface of the wire. I don't know if you can see that the edges seem to develop that crust first, and then it grows further inwards. Okay, at least that's the impression that it gets. And now if you compare the velocity of the object that is further ahead of the dendrite, you can see that the dendrite, depending on what's your electrolyte mixture, for example, here you can see that the red circles correspond to 25 PC, 75% DMC, as compared to the triangles, which is 75% PC, 25% DMC. Notice that the velocity, the dendrite basically starts really fast, then it slows down, as you can see here, okay? And well, in some cases it drops significantly, just stops growing, or its velocity drops very close to zero, or like they suggest here, it starts retreating, or it reaches some final terminal velocity. Okay, why? Because the moment it gets ahead, okay, that dendrite gets ahead, it decides that it has no other reason, well, somehow, it gives the impression it finds no other reason to continue, and then it slows down, giving opportunity to the other dendrites that are smaller to continue its growth. Okay? Giving the impression of this one shooting very fast, okay, and then slowing down. Okay, that I personally find very interesting. Okay, suggesting that even though the dendrite can start very fast, it can rapidly stabilize and depend on the local interactions to continue its growth or to start retreating. Okay? I'm hoping you have an opportunity to read this paper, and when you do, you will find out that in this experiment, in these measurements, what they're doing, they're not following one specific point of the surface. They're trying to track the point that is closest, well, furthest away from the substrate, right? So, say after Well, in this case, after we're basically seeing instance after the length of this plot, but the idea is that these objects, as they grow, you're only seeing the one that grew the fastest, and then, of course, it slows down and waits for the other ones to catch up. That's why you see that decrease in velocity. Okay? Anyway, that's the idea on that one. Any questions on this one specifically? Okay. Okay, now this is a different publication, okay? The one that you saw, let me just go there for 1 second. This is a 2008 publication, okay? The one from Crowther and West, okay? This one over here is a 2013 publication. In fact, it came out a few months ago, okay? And this one doesn't focus on the growth process of the dendrite. Okay, once the dendrite grows, okay, experimentally it has been found, it's really hard to stop it. Okay, it just continues to grow. It's very hard to suppress it, okay, so that it retreats. Instead, what these people focused on were on trying to count the number of dendrites per unit area that starts forming the moment you turn on the system. Okay, and you can see here, after 3 seconds of applying an overpotential, you can see you start seeing these dimples, this smaller than, smaller than 10 nanometers dimples that form on the surface. Okay, and after a while, you can see a second later, they have grown enormously, right? They have roughly doubled their size, and still more of those objects are still forming on the same length scale. Okay, you keep doubling the time, and notice that there's a reconfiguration of these objects, right? There's a larger density of dendrites. Well, I wouldn't even call them dendrites, I would call them nuclei at this point, just starting to populate the surface, okay? But they're not occurring homogeneously. You can see that there are some open areas occurring, so clearly there's some underlying inhomogeneity on the substrate that it's forcing these objects to grow as they grow, right? And of course, more than almost 2 hours later, notice the scale, right? Now we're talking about 3,000 nanometers, or 3 microns, if you prefer. Now we have these objects have coarsened against each other. They do have some sort of characteristic size. Roughly, they all seem to share the same characteristic length scale. But from time to time, you get to see that one or two of them has poked and has gone ahead of the rest, okay? This is, of course, a top view. Okay, but you can think of it, and let me do it over here. Well, clearly there's some inhomogeneity is already occurring at the surface, but the moment you turn it on with the right amount of current, a density of these objects start to appear, at least from based on that specific experiment. And here we're talking about ECDMC in the background. Okay, I think the key thing is some characteristic initial size. Okay, that just, and you have there its formation of, in this case, of nuclei per unit second, right? There's a density of them that they just start appearing. Not all of them remain. Okay, a fraction of them just disappear. Okay, and here we're talking the sub 10 nanometer distance. Notice that this size at this point is comparable to the size of the SEI. At least the thickness of the SEI, right? So if I were to compare this size or zoom in, I would have my thickness, right? And it's forming there, okay? Well, this is a very crude cartoon, right? But the idea is that there's something about that specific spot that made that specific nuclei form at that place on a size that is on the order of 20, maybe 10 nanometers. Okay, that is, well, most likely also pushing the SEI outwards. Okay? Somehow. Okay? And, well, the characteristic size, I'm gonna define an R star, right, defining that as the characteristic size for that dendrite to start to grow. Okay? And what you have here in the plot on the right is basically the number of nuclei per centimeter square. I mean, I was impressed to seeing densities of nuclei so high, right, in this publication. And notice that the growth rate, the appearance of these nuclei, doesn't occur linearly, okay? It occurs actually logarithmically. This is, you can see, this is the measurements that they made. And you can see the number of nuclei, how it correlates with time, okay? Again, I think it's very interesting. Basically, its slope, right? Its slope would correspond to the number of nuclei per unit seconds that you get on the surface, right? It gives you an idea. In this case, this plot is giving you an estimate of the nucleation rate, okay? On how many of these nuclei are actually forming on the substrate, okay? And some of which are, of course, disappearing and others appearing until the system plateaus. There's a combination of things if you think about it occurring, right? You have that every point on the surface, even though it's not equivalent to each other, once you have occupied it with one of these objects, it becomes unavailable for another nuclei to form. So probably one of the reasons why this nucleation rate is starting to plateau is because we're running out of real estate, if you may, to build another little nuclei, lithium house, if you may, right? And since its a footprint is determined by the characteristic radius, there's so many places where we can build one. And of course, locally, some spots are going to be more likely to have nuclei than others, forcing that nuclei then to grow. Okay? Well, that is the basic picture. And they did that. This specific measurement was performed, my understanding is that they did it in such a way that they allowed, they tried to get as close as possible to real conditions, which I found that very interesting and informative. And then what they did, I think, let me just go one back again. What they did here, I think they used LFPF6 as salt in this one, okay, which has the benefits that actually stabilizes the SEI and forces the dendrites to basically, if they grow, to grow more uniformly, okay. And here they replace LIPF6 with this other salt that you see here. And what happens is actually deposits were actually suppressed in the amount of growth that they have. So you don't have. In fact, let's look at this plot first. Notice that there's an order of magnitude difference of number of nuclei per centimeter square in comparison to the previous plot, right? You can see here we're in the 10 to the 8 after 5 seconds. And here we are on the order of 2 times 10 to the 7th after 200 seconds. So here we have less nucleation. Okay, this specific salt also in ECDMC does not actually favor dendrite nucleation as much. Something changed, okay, either in the electrolyte itself, either because the electrolyte became more less conductive, or something in the chemistry of the surface changed as a result of that. And well, if we try to combine this picture, where we have dendrites competing, basically a dendrite grows, okay, a dendrite grows until it reaches a size and then it slows down, waiting for the other ones to catch up. as compared to, I'm sorry, if I take that picture and put it here, what we have is a large number of little nuclei that start to grow and compete with each other. And the moment one of them gets ahead, it will start slowing down in its velocity. Okay? Here. If instead I have, I'll try to draw it here, not so many at a different characteristic size, this one will not likely see that one. Okay? So, if at all, it starts growing in isolation. Okay? To the point where it would transition from this initial spherical shape to the classic dendrite shape, as you can see here. Okay, so you can see after 25 seconds, as compared to the previous slide, okay, here, let's see, 25 seconds. Well, I guess this is the closest we can get to 25 seconds on the previous slide. Okay, we have a large number of dendrites basically covering the surface, right? We basically have a little city of dendrites, okay, all of them competing with each other. And on the, with this other, other salt, what we have is that we have very few of them growing. Maybe what happened is that the energetics to forming one suppress their formation, but their suppression of their formation led to less interactions, less competition between them, allowing to the ones that actually made it out to actually grow faster and actually form those needle-like shapes that are so negative for battery performance. Okay, so, and you can see, well, in this case, after 50 seconds, how those needles have already formed and how they're literally poking out of the surface. Okay, and so clearly, it's there is something occurring at the surface. Clearly, the salt that you use, even if you keep the electrolyte the same, could actually have an impact on what you're growing. Okay, so based on that, what they did was, well, what if I added an additional chemical to the system? And in this case, what they did, they added sodium to the structure. Okay, what that did is it still suppressed the formation of dendrites using the same salt. Okay, but they do not grow as much. Okay, something happened now on the chemistry of these structures. Okay, and you have to understand that lithium itself, okay, when it grows, I'm just going to try to draw one here. Okay, this surface will not have the same properties as this surface on that side. Okay, there's some degree of surface anisotropy and the inner properties. Okay, so what they claim is that this sodium attacked those surfaces that were most electrically active. Okay, it basically attacked that surface, suppressing or dampering, slowing down its growth. Okay? So as a result of that then, well, if I cannot grow more, the only option that I have is to start at a much slower rate, start to nucleate more dendrites or more nuclei, if you may. And so what happens is then that after 500 seconds, and I really want to compare what we had before, let's see, after 500 seconds where we have these very long and spaghetti-like structures, now after 500 seconds, we have this dimpled-like structure. I don't know if you can see there are those protrusions on the structures themselves. How some of them, and actually it's much easier to see here, after 1,000 seconds, how these structures don't look spherical anymore. They look more... So even though you would expect to see to look like that, they actually seem like they... So I don't know, that someone took a bite of them. Okay, that and you can see them there, right? As having that not as spherical geometry as before. Something happened to that with the sodium, and giving it those dimple microstructure or dimple morphology. Okay, and I find an additional thing that I don't think the paper comments on is the fact that notice that how some of these dendrites start to form some lines on the surface. my guess, and I'm just guessing, that there's some sort of maybe some scratches due to processing, or that the substrate that was put there, something, some sort of defect there was still favoring its formation, leading to that heterogeneity so that it formed. Okay? Here, what you have is an elemental map showing you in one side the lithium content, basically trying to find out what regions actually are trying to form more dendrites, okay, and compare it to the surficial concentration of sodium plus. And notice how, well, this is a dendrite right here, how it correlates to places where the sodium went and attacked the surface. Okay? It's really suggesting that actually by controlling the energetics of the surface or the lithium wettability, you can indeed suppress its nucleation. So instead of trying to completely kill nucleation, what you can see, killing nucleation didn't do much, right? Killing nucleation, what that did was just that allowed for the ones that survived to grow bigger and longer. Okay? Either you don't let those dendrites form at all, zero, which is a very hard battle to fight, or you allow them to grow, okay, but to the point where they are basically suppressed and always at the surface, never actually happen to cross the anode-cathode separator region. The moment they cross, the game is over. Okay, but in this case, the idea is, or at least the idea that they are implicitly conveying, is that by adding a chemical into the system, you can indeed suppress those regions that will be the most active. Okay? Any comments at this point? Yes?
From the figure in previous
this one?
From the figure at the bottom right.
The one?
Yes. Uh-huh. So these are dendrites like columnar structures, or these are spherical spheres like structure one over another.
Not here. Oh yes, I would have a lot of problems actually defining explicitly what they are, but my impression. They kind of look like mushrooms from what I saw. I mean, at the bottom, I'm going to try to draw it here, you have this almost fully covered structure with dendrites. And somewhere here, I got the impression that they're like a cluster of dendrites that form, right? It's the impression that I got from looking at. Unfortunately, it is a top view only, and I think in this case, if more micrographs, or we could, I don't know, try to find a way to tool the dendrites, will give you a much more accurate picture. There is some sort of amorphous part associated with it. There's clearly something occurring here, okay, in these surfaces, that it's making the dendrites grow. Change their shape as they grow. Okay? Besides the interactions between them, there's something in addition to that it's occurring.
Now, if one lithium ion joins a dendrite, so does the original dendrite grow, or does another nuclei start, another nucleus form? Right?
You mean other nucleus form in the surface is what you're asking?
What I mean is, if one lithium atom joins, an ion joins.
Uh-huh.
So will the original one grow, or some new will start nucleating?
So if, okay, let me rephrase your question. So if you're saying if lithium comes and deposits here, will I grow that structure, or will I start nucleating another one from that point?
Yeah.
That, I think it's a very good question, because, see, there are dendrites where indeed that happens, where basically you have at the tip of the dendrite a bunch of basically just nuclei, like little kernels that form on top, and that by themselves starts defining the quote-unquote dendrite. Okay, that is basically, you could have not only nucleation here, but you would have nucleation there.
Right.
I think, at least based on these experiments, I think it's very hard to distinguish either. I think the only thing they are distinguishing is what happens at the surface, right? I think they're just counting number of nuclei on the surface, and based on that, comparing them, of course, to the micrographs, you know, posteriori, right, and see what actually happened there.
And the crystallographic structure, which inside the dendrite, it is a single crystalline. Dendrite is a single crystalline.
Okay, I have a lot of problems saying that a single dendrite is a single crystal in general. Okay, clearly it'll depend on the discharging conditions. Okay, clearly it'll depend on whether this is actually growing really fast. And again, you have to think that you have a competition, right, between a dendrite growing a layer of lithium out or a layer of SEI forming on top. Maybe you have a competition of both, and that's what's causing the dendrite to form that weird phase. Okay, or maybe what you have is a situation where you have an SEI or a lithium-rich SEI layer followed by a pure lithium layer, right? Given that, remember that at the beginning we were talking about these ring structures, right? Those ring structures formed because clearly there were chemical homogeneities on each cycle that changed the chemistry of the, well, in this case, the cross-section of the dendrite. There's nothing stopping that here from happening. So the internal morphology of the dendrite, I think it's as much of a mystery as it is the SEI layer itself. Most likely because it's related to the SEI in its formation and growth. It's coupled to it, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. You had a question? I got the impression you had one. Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. So, okay. That's after 1,000 seconds. Okay. So this follows up on the part that we were discussing about the interaction with SEI. In that same paper, Cole and co-workers suggest that when a dendrite is nucleating on the surface, a layer of SEI deposits. And as we've been discussing, this SEI layer is brittle and stiff, okay, maybe imposing some mechanical constraint for the dendrite, which is metallic or metallic-like, to grow. So imagine now you have this crust, okay, that it's being stretched, okay, as your dendrite is poking out of the surface, okay. So I'm going to try to sketch it here. So if you do that, well, we can think of the simplest equilibrium condition where we have, let's just say, a pure lithium nuclei that form a crust on top. And either because lithium ions diffuse through the 10 nanometers layer to move forward, this SEI layer, you would expect that it will start cracking. If it does it uniformly, that it will start cracking on its surface, right? It's basically, it'll start opening up cracks, which, as you can see here, in turn, okay, what they will do, because we need that local over potential to grow, okay, it'll basically grow at a slower rate here than in those other regions, okay? If the drop is very small, of course you expect that more SEI layer will come and heal that surface. But if the overpotential difference required to grow is very large, what you would expect is that this region will fall behind, okay, allowing for this other region to start growing forward. Okay, it's starting leading with that, and I'm going to try to just pretend that region alone is the one that benefited from it, to start forming that awkward shape as it grows. Okay? That, I think, could completely changes what morphology you have. And of course, here, you have again an SEI layer that formed, okay, but because it grew so fast, then most likely it had another set of cracks, you know, just completely bifurcating in random places the structure, right? And completely changing how it would grow. And of course, we know that this SEI layer internally is not uniform. So even if the layer, the thickness is uniform internally, you could have all these inhomogeneities that completely could change the way in which the dendrite is growing. Okay, so that's one approach, right? The other one is relates to to base controlled growth. Okay, you guys remember, right, we were saying that there are two mechanisms for growth, and in this case, we're implicitly talking about, in this case, tip controlled. For this particular structure, right, the SEI, they suggest that plays a role in imposing a morphology on that. And you can see how this could be construed as nucleating on top of another dendrite. Okay? May not be necessarily be another dendrite, it's just some outgrowth from the same structure, right? Because even though maybe the electric or the electrochemical fields macroscopically could be uniform, this spot could have a much more concentrated over potential that will drive the system to grow in that direction. Okay. Now, on the lower inset, if your SEI, what they suggest, or the proposed mechanism of the dendrite is that, in this case, the SEI is so stiff, okay, that will not allow anything to grow. Let's just say this entire section, basically it's a wall now. It's so stiff that it won't allow anything else to grow. So the thought is that as it tries to expand, it'll basically extrude material to the regions that have lower stress, forcing them, the dendrite, for the dendrite to grow. Thinking in this case that this mechanism would be base controlled. Okay? Poking the dendrite in the other direction. In any case, you can see that the SEI could play, and again, this is just speculation based on experimental facts. Okay, the SEI could play a critical role in determining the mechanism through which a dendrite will not only nucleate, but also grow out of the substrate. Okay, at least, if at all, it impacts on the surface tension energetics that will either force for material to just grow only on one side of the tip, or will make the material basically funnel all its energetic to the regions where you will have the least amount of compressive stresses. Okay? Imposing with that, of course, a completely different way to grow that dendrite. Okay? And of course, once that happens, right, if I had here, I don't know, some head that form, okay, it'll give the impression that this head is always just controlling how the structure forms. Okay? Basically just forcing it through that weak spot on the dendrite surface. Okay, why? Because, well, maybe this spot itself has grown an SEI so thick now that it just doesn't move, right? It just keeps going. Okay? Okay. And, okay. I'm going to stop right here. You guys have any final questions? Yes?
You can base control method. Will the solubility of the electrode then increase because it's heating from the...
The solubility of the electrode will increase. What do you mean?
Because now, since some lithium has gone into the dendrite, so there are empty spaces for lithium.
Oh, I see. So you're saying, since I'm moving lithium here from the base, you're saying that maybe this structure could start shrinking because it needs...
This is the electrode, right? At the bottom.
Right, yes. Uh-huh.
So if lithium moves out of that, so there are more spaces for lithium to intercalate, and the solubility
right.
can increase.
You're right. Well, the solubility limit will remain the same.
Yeah.
Maybe it's controlled by the stresses.
Hmm.
But yeah, you're right. If this were graphite, and I think these were all not performed in graphite, I think they were all performed in copper. Okay? If this were graphite, and this were completely plated with lithium, if it had reached a solubility limit, it would leave time for that lithium to diffuse in. And if there are lithium ions here, it could actually start shrinking down as a result of that. But if that surface had completely shut down as a result of the lithium that deposited on the surface, then it's just a dead area at that point. And the only way you can grow is through plating.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Well, thank you, guys, and we'll discuss the exam on Wednesday.